The gospel reading this morning is from Matthew, verses 12 to 23. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum, by the lake, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, whom we call Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called to them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. If we let it, life today could tear us apart. There's such division in our world. The good guys versus the bad guys, the left versus the right, us and them, the Red Sox and the Yankees. Sometimes we do that in church too. We reflect our society. Instead of being an example of what a community is supposed to be, we kind of shift into the old team, choosing, line in the sand people, pick a side people. That's what Paul's letter to the people in Corinth was all about, that Shelley read about. They were a new church, and he was talking to them as a parent would talk to his children. They were divided. They were forgetting his teachings about Jesus and weren't walking together in the Spirit. In his letter, he pleaded with them, basically, please, stop it. Stop being a mirror and start being a lighthouse. Stop reflecting what you see and hear that's all around you and be a beacon instead. Be a guiding light. It's time to stop blending in. Start standing out, standing apart. Paul asked them, "Were you baptized in the name of Paul or Jesus? So tell me, to whom do you belong?" You'd think that's easy, wouldn't you? We'd say, we belong to Christ. As he said, "I am the way, the truth, the life." But he doesn't care about lip service, and Paul told them, "Don't tell me what you believe. Show me. Show me how you live." Does our life reflect our love of Christ? Does our life show the things he taught us? And are we using what he's given us to love one another? God wants us to be united. He's created us with such beautiful diversity. None of us is exactly like the other. And on top of that, he's given each of us our own unique spiritual gifts. Not talents, not something we've created ourselves, but gifts to each of us by the Father. Have you ever felt a great joy at doing something for someone else? For some, it's helping others in a nursing home, or counting money for the church, or collecting items for kids in the hospital, being a Sunday school teacher, reading the scripture, or vacuuming the church. If it gives you a feeling of joy and rightness, and doing it serves God in some way, that may be your spiritual gift from God to you. He's given us these spiritual gifts so we can all be a part of the body. Unique people, different gifts, all working together. It's hands, feet, all the parts of the body working together for the body. The Bible tells us that each person is beloved of God and that none is more important than the other. The persons who shovel our walkway, God bless you.
Thank you.
They are the same in God's eyes, just as important as the bishop. Matthew's words I just read today tell us about the beginning of Jesus' ministry, finding his very first disciples. Standing on the seashore in Galilee that day, he said, "Come with me and be fishers of men." They never hesitated, just dropped their nets, done. Talk about standing apart. They left everything they knew and their families. They had a lot to learn, but they did know. The one standing in front of them was the beacon, the lighthouse, the one Isaiah spoke of in the prophecy Shelley read today. This is the part of my message today that takes a little turn. These past few weeks, I've been taking an online course called Discovering Our Spiritual Gifts. A part of the process is sharing ideas, concerns, and encouragements with our fellow classmates. I had shared that I was very stressed about sharing a topic with all of you. They reminded me that we are all one family, and they are praying for all of us as I share this with you. Shelley, Judy, and I have shared several Methodist moments with the church this past year, bits and pieces of what went on at the New England Annual Conference this past June. But the one I really need to talk with you about, my friends, is what I've been thinking of as the elephant in the room speech. I've been putting it off, but after much prayer, I bring it before you. It may be that you already know all about this, but it's important that we are all on board with understanding. If you remember, there were reports at the conference on all parts of the United Methodist Church family: finance, apportionments, stewardship, education, and missions. There were unforgettable moments of life-changing commissions and ordinations, as well as discussions or recommendations to be made to our general conference on vital issues affecting the church. As I've mentioned before, this process called holy conferencing is different from a meeting at a business. Participation in voting is done with God in prayerful deliberation and love. And although there were lively discussions, even when voices were high with emotion and passion, and sometimes desperation, there was no animosity, no unkind spirit, only grace. Must be the work of God. After the regional conferences all over the world individually meet and confer, as we did, they each send elected delegates to the general conference, which meets every 4 years, the next being this May. They bring with them the recommendations called resolutions, compiled and voted on in their jurisdictions. One of them is of special importance to all of us and the future direction of our churches. It has to do with the wording in the Book of Discipline, the book that not only describes who we are, where we came from, and what we believe, but also lists the way we do things, like rules to live by. Every 4 years, the General Conference examines the discipline and continually seeks to tweak the wording to bring it as close to possible to what we believe Methodism should be. This past year, a special conference met to discuss wording changes that had been made in a paragraph of the discipline concerning human sexuality. The discipline has been changed to say, and I quote, "While persons set apart by the church for ordained ministry are subject to all the frailties of the human condition and the pressures of society, they are required to maintain the highest standards of holy living in the work. The practice of homosexuality is incompatible with Christian teaching. Therefore, self-avowed practicing homosexuals are not to be certified as candidates, ordained as ministers, or appointed to serve in the United Methodist Church." Unquote. It goes on to say that this does not mean that they cannot be baptized, take communion, or become members of the church. The name we refer to now to this community of folks in Christ is LGBTQA+. It's a long one, but basically shortens the list of folks who are transgender, bisexual, homosexual. In our New England Conference family, members of the LGBTQA community have been known and welcomed for some time, including clergy, and have been deeply hurt by this change in the wording. Many of our beloved clergy and others who serve the church are open about who they are, a part of which is being homosexual. Their faith and service to the community of Christ has never before been questioned. This new wording has a far-reaching impact in a way that we might not think of right away. For instance, students preparing for graduation from theological colleges and seminaries will find that they are not able to serve in their calling for Christ as United Methodists, as clergy in churches, or missions of any other position. And those who are already clergy and are homosexual may not be able to serve as clergy or in other appointments of the church in which they already serve. After seeing at our New England Conference how many stood to speak and identified themselves as a part of the LGBTQ community, I can tell you that this is a big part of our family of Christ. I believe several folks actually chose to reveal this to conference as they spoke, knowing full well what it would mean. Over the past few years, one of the slogans of the United Methodist Church has been "Open hearts, open minds, open doors, the people of the United Methodist Church." So perhaps we can understand why the wording of the discipline has come as a surprise to many who have always felt they had a home as included members of the UMC family. A special conference was called this past spring to talk about the wording and to figure out possible changes to the discipline, the inclusive rewording possibilities versus the traditional wording. They voted. The consensus was approximately 48% to alter the wording to become more inclusive, and 52% against any correction, which has divided our church community, basically splitting the church right down the middle. This has been heart-wrenching for many churches, especially for those who are divided in belief between traditional wording and inclusive. And there are suggested exit plans being worked out for those churches that find they cannot be a part of such wording and belief. Of course, there are arguments pro and con, and like lawyers at a trial, knowledgeable people on either side to interpret the scripture. As Methodists, we are encouraged to seek our understanding of scripture, how it speaks to us, and to be educated if we can by others. At present, there are several different plans suggested to help us find our way as the United Methodist community in Christ that will be presented to the General Conference in May. So far, none. It's important that we keep the conference in our prayers as they endeavor to find a way to solve this division. Back at our New England Conference this last June, the chosen scripture was from Micah. It says, "And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?" Our bishop reminded us to fully trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Whether we support the traditional wording or embrace the idea of an inclusive family, there is hope in the words of our discipline that reads, "The United Methodist Church recognizes that all persons are of sacred worth." Everyone's hope is that we'll find a solution that will continue to bring us together in Christ. Our New England Conference last June voted to send a resolution recommending a change in wording, standing by our LGBTQ community, and even ordaining several LGBTQ folks that day at conference. What we know to be true is that we are all God's children, each as beloved as the other. It's important that we all keep the General Conference in our prayers as they endeavor to find a way to solve this division. And no matter what decisions we make, we know our fellow United Methodists will always have our love. Now it's time for lifting up our joys and concerns to God. Ms. Caitlin, is the mic working?